There's no boom in Youngstown, but blue-collar workers are sticking with Trump. Youngstown, Ohio, in May 2016, David Beatriz, a Democratic Party leader in the heart of industrial Northeast Ohio, sent a memo warning Hillary Clinton's campaign that it was on the verge of losing Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Michigan because she was not connecting with blue-collar voters. These states should be easy wins for us, he wrote. He said he got no answer. As he sees it now, Democrats are still just as out of touch. Mr. Beatriz, who recently stepped down as Democratic chairman of populous Mahoning County, said that while Democrats in Washington harp on President Trump's unfitness for office, his taxes and possible impeachment, the president is solidifying blue-collar support through an aggressive trade war with China. Even if his tariffs mean economic pain in the short term, the Democratic Party has lost its voice to speak to people that shower after work and not before work, he said. All we're saying is he won't turn over his tax returns. He's saying, I'm fighting China to get you better jobs, he added. They don't care about his taxes, they just don't. In the 10th year of a national recovery, which has brought record low unemployment and rising wages to many parts of the country, Northeast Ohio is still among the walking wounded, the result of decades of deindustrialization driven by free trade deals. The loss of 1,600 jobs in March at a General Motors plant in nearby Lordstown, despite Mr. Trump's visible efforts to save them, was the latest blow. But even though stresses on families and communities are already acute, Mr. Trump appears to have lost little of his blue-collar support here. It is a sign of how tight a bond he has with voters who were once staunch Democrats, in an allegiance as much cultural as economic. But it also undermines the argument of the Democrats' leading 2020 candidate, Joseph R. Biden Jr., that he would be the best nominee to win back Midwest states because of his own appeal to working-class voters. Mr. Biden kicked off his campaign April 29, an hour from Youngstown, in Pittsburgh, where he laid down his blue-collar bona fides by appearing at a Teamsters Hall and declaring, I am a union man. Still, on the campaign trail, Mr. Biden has downplayed China's global economic threat. China is going to eat our lunch? Come on, man, he exclaimed at a rally in Iowa, adding, they're not competition for us. Democrats in Youngstown said that is exactly the wrong message. The president is punching China in the face with tariffs, while the leading candidate on our side is saying China is not even an issue, said Representative Tim Ryan, a Democrat whose district includes Youngstown and who is himself a presidential candidate. If we go into the election with that as our message, we'll get beat again, the Biden campaign declined to respond. In New Hampshire last week, Mr. Biden said a better approach than Mr. Trump's go-it-alone trade war, which he said hurts working people and farmers, was to enlist American allies in a joint effort. Mr. Ryan, who is not well known beyond Ohio, criticized Mr. Trump for lacking a plan to rebuild American industry. But he agreed with the president that China is the number one threat and that a new type of Cold War over trade may be looming. Whatever benefits decades of globalization brought to some parts of the country, there was no effort to reinvest in regions like Northeast Ohio, where steel mills once lined 22 miles of the Mahoning River, and which has bled tens of thousands of jobs. The communities were cut loose and ignored, and then they voted for Trump because at least he's punching somebody in the face, and no one else is. Mr. Ryan said, one of those voters is Daryl Franks, a retired tool and die maker, who was once a Democrat but now votes Republican. What I want from a president is the rest of the world to look at him and go, don't mess with that guy, he will get even. Mr. Franks said one morning in the Yankee Kitchen in Vienna Township, Ohio. I don't want kinder, gentler. I don't want some female that wants her agenda. Vienna, pronounced Vi-Anna locally, is in Trumbull County, 15 miles north of Youngstown. Blue-collar voters who had not voted Republican for president since 1972 flipped Trumbull County for Mr. Trump by 30 percentage points in 2016. The Brookings Institution reported this month that in counties that voted for Mr. Trump, mostly rural and exurban, new jobs have been added at a faster pace than in counties that voted for Mrs. Clinton. Although Clinton counties represent the bulk of the United States economy, the president's re-election campaign is marshaling such economic news to solidify his base of white working-class voters. Democrats are on the defensive, parsing economic data to argue that many people have jobs, but some must juggle too to make ends meet. While Democrats made gains in the midterm elections in many places around the country that Mr. Trump had carried, the Mahoning Valley was an exception. The only two seats in the Ohio Statehouse that flipped from blue to red were in the region. Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio, a Democrat with working-class appeal, won re-election by a bigger margin than in his 2012 race, but his support slipped in Mahoning County and other counties on the Pennsylvania border. Matt Borges, a former chairman of the Ohio Republican Party, said a fundamental demographic realignment has taken place under Mr. Trump. "We've traded off suburban Republicans who may never find their way back to the party for that white working-class traditional Democratic voter, who has been more and more alienated from their party's rhetoric," he said. "Is this a long-term gain for Republicans here?" Yes, about 40% of the union autoworkers at the General Motors plant in Lordstown, Ohio, voted for Mr. Trump, which was twice the support for Republican presidential candidates in the past, said Tim O'Hara, vice president of United Auto Workers Local 1112, which represents the factory. He said very few were abandoning the president, even after the plant, which made the Chevy Cruze, laid off thousands of workers in three waves since Mr. Trump's election. At a rally in Youngstown in 2017, the president promised the jobs in shuttered factories are all coming back, urging, "Don't move, don't sell your houses, Mr. O'Hara advised Democratic presidential candidates not to waste breath trying to win back union voters who supported Mr. Trump. "I don't think those Trump people are going to flip back, even if it's Joe Biden, who has a lot of support in this area," he said. "I think they're dug in on Trump. Whatever happens, they're going to go down with the ship with him." Stanley Greenberg, a Democratic pollster, said Democrats have not yet lost the economic argument, and in places like Macomb County, Mish, and western Wisconsin, white voters without a college degree swung back in 2018, choosing Democrats after embracing Mr. Trump in 2016. Mr. Greenberg has shown focus groups of unregistered voters Trump tweets boasting the economy was booming. "It was like a get-out-the-vote thing for Democrats," he said. "People have had so little income gain for so long and are so on the edge that they will not give credit to political leaders, and Trump will find that to be true in 2020. In a region like Northeast Ohio, it is difficult to untangle the president's appeal on economics from his tapping of resentment toward demographic and cultural change. Even though the Mahoning Valley was settled by immigrants from Southern and Eastern Europe drawn to the steel mills in the 1920s, there are a dozen Eastern Orthodox churches in Youngstown. A palpable hostility toward newer waves of immigrants is routine. He's allowing these workers to say, 'I don't have a good job because of these immigrants.'" Mr. Beatriz, the former Democratic chairman, said, "That's not true. But he's got a voice. There's an underbelly of America that America doesn't want to accept about itself, and he speaks to it," he said. "A good place to sample what's on people's minds is the Yankee Kitchen, where the tables and long curving counter were packed for breakfast on Saturday. Its owner is a Greek immigrant, Nick Riptis, who says, 'This is the greatest country on earth. I came with $5 in my pocket.' But on immigration today, his customers tend to echo Mr. Trump's depiction of an emergency on the southwest border, in a county that is 89% white and less than 2% Hispanic. They spoke of undocumented immigrants bankrupting Sun Belt hospitals, dragging down wages and burdening taxpayers." Amy Giovannone, 51, an oil and gas consultant and an Army veteran, said Mr. Trump's habitual false statements did not bother her. "All politicians are pathological liars," and she rejected the idea that the president won because of demeaning insults he directed at Mexicans and Muslims. "That is ridiculous to think he was voted in because he used that kind of language. I am the furthest person from prejudiced," she said. "Here's my thing, I cannot deal with the sympathy for illegal immigrants," she said. "My grandparents both came over from Italy. They worked for their citizenship. They were poor, they had to farm, they did everything right." Tom Mauerman, 54, a foreman at an aluminum extrusion plant, said, "People pouring over the border is unacceptable. We're funding everybody on the planet. I'm tired of it," he added. "If Trump plays his cards right, that's his ticket to win the White House again."